No, I saw that play.
I work with this girl.
Which I guess we're rolling now, so I won't say it.
Jerry, I work with this girl at the pharmacy, and her mom was the cook.
Oh, wow.
All right, Acts 21. We are live. With no way to edit the beginning of the tape. Acts 21. So this will be Acts 21, Part B. We left off about verse 24 last time, so let's just back up a few verses just to get back into context. Verse 20. And when they heard it, they glorified the Lord and said unto him, Thou seest, brother, how many thousands of Jews there are which believe, and they are all zealous of the law. And they are informed of thee, speaking of Paul, that thou teachest all the Jews which are among the Gentiles to forsake Moses, saying that they ought not to circumcise their children, neither to walk after the customs. What is it, therefore? The multitude must needs come together, for they will hear that thou art come. And let's just stop right there for a minute. Come over to Galatians. Let's just grab a couple of verses in Galatians. You know, this whole thing about circumcision. You know, back then, 2,000 years ago, circumcision was sort of like the religious ceremony, the religious ordinance. There's still one more word, a custom.
Ritual.
Ritual, that is the word I'm looking for.
Come on down.
Was the ritual that everybody, you know, placed the preeminence on, much like today you would see with water baptism. So when you read this, just insert water baptism to kind of bring it into today's time. But Galatians chapter 3, I'm going to read two passages in Galatians. Galatians 3 verse 1, Paul says, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Received ye by the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? In Galatians 3. Come down to verse 7. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith... Let's see. I know I was going somewhere with this. He that ministered unto you in the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth it by the works of the law or the hearing of faith. Okay, now come down to verse 10. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For as it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. For the just shall live by faith, and the law is not of faith, that the man who doeth them shall live in them. Come over to chapter 5. Chapter 5, verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. The yoke of bondage, the law. Verse 2. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Okay, if they're going to keep one part of the law, they are a debtor to carry out the entire law. That's the whole gist of it right there. And that's actually where I was meaning to go when I went to chapter 3. All right, so chapter 5 there. If you're going to follow one part, you've got to follow it all. All right, and people... Like I say, it was just that ordinance. It was that ritual that people just, you know, people love being religious and doing religious rituals. And that hasn't changed through today. Over in chapter 6 of Galatians, here's what it's all about. All these rituals. And again, back then it was circumcision. Think of the ritual that applies to today. Verse 12, as many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised 2,000 years ago. Plug in water baptism today. They constrain you to be water baptized, if you will, only lest they should suffer persecutions for the cross of Christ. For neither they themselves who are, Again, you could put in water baptized today, keep the law, but desire to have you water baptized that they may glory in your flesh. And I'm making an application there. Okay, the word was always circumcised in here, but today that's a ritual that you can sure split families about and split churches for that matter. I mean, people just, they love their religious rituals.
And traditions.
And traditions. The tradition, you know, on our way back to Acts, stop in Romans chapter 11. Chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. Sound familiar? Okay. People have a zeal for God, but watch this in verse 3. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. And that's it right there. People want to go about and establish their own righteousness.
I have a question about that. Is it one's own righteousness if a religion tells you to, not tells you, but says, okay, if you go, you know, give X amount of dollars and light candles and pray that you can pray somebody out of purgatory? Is it, when you do that, based on the what you were taught by that particular religion, is that your righteousness, or is that wanting, is that what?
Well, what you would be doing
God
is
to do that.
What if I think I understand the question properly, they would be going about to establish their own righteousness by the works that they're doing. And just like we read back in Galatians, if you think you need to follow any point of the law to establish your own righteousness, you've got to carry out the entire law.
But what if you're doing it, what did I tell you, Jordan? Out of ignorance or fear?
I wasn't listening. Sorry.
When was it coming home? I mean, you know, it was like when because let's say somebody dies and you want to pray that person out of purgatory. Oh. How can that be your righteousness? Because that's what you are told. If you do this, this can happen. And if you know nothing else, you know what I'm saying?
Yes. Yeah, you're actually doing it. You're doing it in ignorance. However, even in ignorance, you're being taught that you have to work for righteousness. So you would be following
that
works.
Act is a work.
Yeah, an act is a work. Thank you. Great definition right there, if you will.
Well, then look at Paul. Paul did it in ignorance, yet he was guilty charged.
Okay.
Because it was him. Can't blame anybody else.
Exactly. Yeah, ignorance is, you can't tell the cop out here if you get pulled, if you're going 45 and it's a 35 zone, you can't say, well, I didn't know it was a 45 speed limit. You know, ignorance is no excuse.
The matter, right? Whether you're ignorant or not, it's still
ignorant. That's right. Exactly. Okay, so back to Acts 21 now. But people just love, it's like we want to do something for God as if we could do something for Him. So back to Acts 21 and our study of the book of Acts. So verse 22, what is it therefore? The multitude must needs come together, for they will hear that thou art come. Do therefore this that we say to thee. We have four men which have a vow on them. Take them and purify thyself with them, and be at charges with them, that they may shave their heads. And all may know that those things whereof they were informed concerning thee are nothing, but that thou thyself also walkest orderly and keepest the law. As touching the Gentiles which believe, we have written and concluded that they observe no such thing, save only that they keep themselves from things offered to idols, and from blood, and from strangled, and from fornication. Okay, that's the four ordinances back there, Acts chapter 15. Let's just flip back there real quick. Acts 15, at the beginning of Acts 15, that's when Paul went back to meet with Peter and the 12, right? And then verse 19, the conclusion. And this is James talking, verse 19. Wherefore my sentence is that we trouble not them which from among the Gentiles are turned to God, but that we write unto them that they abstain from pollutions of idols, and from fornication, and from things strangled and from blood. Okay, the four ordinances that were put on the Gentiles, right? Okay, so now back in Acts 21, just want to make sure we're putting that together. So verse 26, then Paul took the men, and the next day, purifying himself with them, entered into the temple. Okay, not a synagogue, the temple. This is the temple. So no, Gentiles were not allowed in the temple. Gentiles could go into the synagogue, but they could not go into the temple. All right, and we're going to see why in a minute here. Into the temple to signify the accomplishment of the days of purification until that an offering should be offered for every one of them. And yes, that is, that's an animal sacrifice, okay, that offering. This, they're still following the daily animal sacrifices. I'm sorry? So not the major animal sacrifices like Passover, or Pentecost. This would just be like the daily sacrifices, the animal sacrifices that they would do, like for four people, pardon me, go buy a turtle dove and give that as an animal sacrifice, and that'll cover the four of you.
They do it daily?
Daily sacrifices.
Wow. I'm surprised.
Yeah, this is all following, yeah.
Wow.
Okay, so verse 27, and when the 7 days were almost, so it was the 7 days of purification, okay? So when the 7 days were almost ended, the Jews which were of Asia, when they saw him in the temple, stirred up all the people and laid hands on him, crying out, men of Israel, help. This is the man that teaches all men everywhere against the people and the law and this place of temple. And further brought Greeks also into the temple, and hath polluted this holy place. So you see right there that the Greeks, the Gentiles, never were allowed in the temple. All right? It would pollute the temple. We Gentiles were nothing but dirty dogs. You know, that's just the way we were and are, according to Jewish law. That never changed. And just as we saw, give me 1 second here. Just as we actually, let's go back there to Matthew. Go back to Matthew.
Now that would have been directed to God, though. But
I'm sorry?
That would have been directed to God. Back
Matthew then, 15.
Right?
Absolutely.
Gentiles weren't allowed in there again.
Matthew 15. The Lord Jesus Christ, while he was on earth. Verse 21. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast. So she's a Greek. Matter of fact, just right in your margin there, Mark 7:26 actually calls her a Greek over there. In that passage of this same story, Mark 7:26. I'm going to go just grab it and read it. But stay where you are in Matthew there. Verse 26, so this is Mark 7:26. The woman was a Greek. Okay, so it just says, absolutely, she was a Greek. All right, Matthew 5:22. And behold, a woman of Canaan, a Greek, came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. But Christ answered and said to this lady who says, my daughter has a devil, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Okay? That's Christ saying, I can't help you. I'm sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. See? We Gentiles were just dogs, even in the eyes of the Lord Jesus Christ back there. Wow. Now, just to finish the story, because the third time she does come back, verse 27, and she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. But what if she would have stopped after two times? Her daughter wouldn't have been healed. Well, So back to Acts 21 now. So you see, this is just, it's Jewish law. It's from God himself. Okay, the Jews were his chosen people. Genesis 12, the promise to Abraham, I'll bless them that bless thee, I'll curse them that curse thee. All right, so now we're in, so Acts 21. Notice that verse 29 is in parentheses. So just to back up at the end of 28 there, and further brought Greeks also into the temple and hath polluted this holy place. Parentheses. For they had seen before with him in the city of Trophimus an Ephesian, whom they supposed that Paul had brought into the temple. Okay, they thought he had brought one in, but he didn't. Paul knew that it was not lawful to do that. And let's come out. One thing you should be asking right here too. Now wait a minute. See Paul doing all these different things. He's purifying himself. He's, you know, he's going with these guys that are shaving their heads. Keep your hand in Acts 21. That is the study. But 1 Corinthians 9. I believe we even did this last week. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 19. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. And to them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain the more that are without law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. And I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. Okay, so Paul was all things, all men. Nothing, or it's not anything that any of us in this room can do today. Paul's the only one in your Bible, for that matter, that could do that. All right, so that's what's going on back here. It's all because of this transition that the whole book of Acts is all about. Now verse 30 of Acts 21. And all the city was moved, and the people ran together, and they took Paul and drew him out of the temple. Okay, the temple again, make sure you understand, it's a temple, not the synagogue. And forthwith the doors were shut. And as they went about to, what's the next word?
Kill him.
Kill him. How many times has that happened back here? As they went forth to kill him, tidings came unto the chief captain of the band that all Jerusalem was in an uproar. Hey, make no mistake, this is Jerusalem, right? He's in Jerusalem, and they want to kill him. Verse 32, who immediately took soldiers and centurions and ran down unto them. And when they saw the chief captain and the soldiers, they left beating of Paul. Okay, they're beating him. Remember, he got stoned back there in Acts 14. And they took him for dead. Verse 33, then the chief captain came near and took him and commanded him to be bound with two chains and demanded who he was and what he had done. And some cried one thing and some another among the multitude. And when he could not know the certainty for the tumult, he commanded him to be carried into the castle. And when he came upon the stairs, so it was that he was borne of the soldiers for the violence of the people. And the multitude of the people followed after, crying, away with him. Sound like what happened to Christ back there. Away with him. Take him away. We don't need this guy. Verse 37, as Paul was led into the castle, he said unto the chief captain, may I speak unto thee? Who said, canst thou speak Greek? Art not thou that Egyptian which before these days made us an uproar and led us out into the wilderness, 4,000 men that were murderers? But Paul said, I am a man which am a Jew of Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, and citizen of no mean city. And I beseech thee, suffer me to speak unto the people. And when he had given him, pardon me, and when he had given him license, Paul stood on the stairs and beckoned with the hand unto the people. And when there was made a great silence, he spake unto them in the Hebrew tongue, saying. So now he's going to go into talking in the Hebrew tongue. And that is going to give him, pardon me, man, sorry gang.
It's alright.
Speaking in the, back in verse 39 now, alright, and he's, I beseech you to suffer unto, to speak unto the people. All right, speaking in the Hebrew tongue gives him great authority with the people. All right, as well as being a citizen of no mean city. All right, that gave him authority with the captain that brought him in there. All right, he's a friend of Rome. Okay, he's not of a mean city, of an adversarial city. And so Paul is going to speak to the people, and as we're going to see, tell you what, we may just go right into Acts 22 right now.
Well, you know what, that's not exactly right.
Okay.
It is now
10:38. Okay. Let's just come down, though. So 22, come down to chapter 22. We are going to end, give me about 5 minutes, we'll be finished here. So when he starts talking, verse 3, and he says, I verily am a man, which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, yet brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous toward God, as ye all are this day. Okay, Paul studied at the feet of Gamaliel. And today, that would be like saying, you know, man, I'm one of the best lawyers in the city of Austin. I didn't just go to UT's law school. I went to Harvard Law School. I mean, Gamaliel was the man with the Jews. I mean, that was, you couldn't get a better law degree, if you will, back here in this day. And so that's why I make the analogy like of going to Harvard Law or Yale Law, like all of our presidents seem to do, I guess, one or the other
not
of those
Harvard
law schools. Yeah, that's right. How about that? Get me off subject again.
We could talk about his high school.
Okay. Tell you what I want to do anyway. I know, Brian, if you would, go ahead and
just cut it.
Yeah, go ahead and cut it.
Take some questions, Greg.
Talk about 22.
Acts chapter 21. So last week we had a great study on Acts chapter 20, and then we spent the second hour on Ephesians 2. They really go together. And so now after Paul, so let's just back up to the last part of Acts 20 just to get us back into context here, what's just happened. So starting in verse 36 of Acts 20, and when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down, here is Paul, he kneeled down and prayed with them all. And they all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more. And they accompanied him unto the ship. Okay, so that was Paul with the elders at Ephesus. That was the third time he was with them. And he told them he wasn't ever going to see him again. And they weren't too happy about that, were they? Crying about a few things here the past few days. Right, Mike?
Yeah.
Okay, 21, verse 1. And it came to pass that after we, and notice Luke's going to insert himself here again. You don't see Luke do this a whole lot. Of course, he's with Paul, but at this, so he includes himself here. That after we were gotten from them and had launched, we came with a straight course unto Coos, and the day following unto Rhodes, and from thence unto Patara. And finding a ship sailing over unto Phoenicia, we went aboard and set forth. Now when we had discovered Cyprus, we left it on the left hand, so they sailed by, and you know Cyprus is over here on the left as they're sailing by. I mean, that's literally what he's saying here. On the left hand, and sailed into Syria, and landed at Tyre. For there the ship was to unlay her burden. And finding disciples, so people who believe, finding disciples, we tarried there 7 days, who said to Paul through the Spirit, is that a capital S in your Bible?
Mm-hmm.
Should be. So these people said to Paul through the Spirit that he should not go up to Jerusalem, Interesting. And when we had accomplished those days, we departed and went our way, for they all brought us on our way with wives and children till we were out of the city, and we kneeled down on the shore and prayed. And when we had taken our leave one of another, we took ship, and they returned home again. Now, interesting, back there in verse 4, that these believers, these disciples, so not the 12, okay, don't confuse that. This is disciples, basically people who believe, they said through the Spirit, is how your Bible words that. Through the Spirit, that he should not go up to Jerusalem. All right, so, you know, warning, don't go to Jerusalem.
So it's like they had the Holy Spirit.
Yes. Absolutely. That's why, actually, about the capital S there, they said through the Spirit. I'll say Spirit led. All right, so now down to verse 7. And when we had finished our course from Tyre, we came to Ptolemais and saluted the brethren and abode with them one day. And the next day, we that were of Paul's company departed and came unto Caesarea. And we entered into the house of Philip the evangelist, which was one of the seven, and abode with him. And the same man had four daughters, virgins, which did prophesy. And as we tarried there many days, there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. And when he was come unto us, now watch these next couple verses. And when he was come unto us, he took Paul's girdle and bound his own hands and feet and said, Thus saith the Holy Ghost, he's prophesying, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle, and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. And when we heard these things, both we and they of that place besought him not to go up to Jerusalem. Kind of sounds like verse 4, doesn't it? Don't go to Jerusalem. Warning. And here's Luke including himself. We, including me, Luke, warning Paul not to go to Jerusalem. You think Paul's getting it left and right not to go to Jerusalem? It sounds like there's not a person with him that's not saying, hey, don't go to Jerusalem. Warning. There's problems ahead. Here comes, so, you know, he started in verse 4 with that crowd. Then you've got a prophet, verse 10, this guy Agabus, from Judea, a certain prophet named Agabus. He's a prophet. He prophesies, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle. They leave. And Paul, or Luke, in verse 12, when we heard these things, both we and they of that place besought him not to go to Jerusalem. Wow. Now, when you have that many people giving you some pretty clear direction, and you know, for that matter, that it's of the Spirit, are you going to ignore it? Or are you going to, hey, my mind's made up. Well, let's see how Paul handles this. Verse 13. Then Paul answered, What mean ye to weep and to break mine heart? For I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. Wow. What an attitude right there. Think about yourself. If you had that many warnings, would you be able to say, hey, if that's what it takes for the name of the Lord Jesus, so be it. I'm ready to die. That's pretty strong. Verse 14, And when he would not be persuaded, we ceased, saying, The will of the Lord be done. They tried their utmost to warn him, and then they realized, hey, he's going, come hellfire or brimstone, and he's going for the gospel's sake. Yes, sir?
In comparison with these right here that Paul's with, to the first group, who by the Spirit told him not to go, to me it looks like the first group told him because the Spirit persuaded them and influenced them to tell Paul.
Right.
So he didn't go at that time because of the Spirit.
And
here in this group that we just currently read, it looks like they are trying to persuade him.
So at different times, you're saying?
Yeah. It's like, hey, it's not needful for you to go at this time, the first time, but now it looks like the second group is just in their flesh saying, hey, please don't go. You know what I'm saying? But look, it says that thus saith the Holy Ghost here at this group, so shall the Jews. So it's going to be at the appointed time. Like the first time wasn't the appointed time. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like, hey, don't go now. But hey, this is going to happen. You follow me?
Yeah, I do. By the word shall.
Yeah.
And forecast.
Yeah. Yeah. It looks like it's a precise time that Paul's being led to Jerusalem.
Interesting way to look at it. Back up to chapter 20. Let's just back up a little bit here. Chapter 20 and verse 16. And I'm jumping into the middle here, but just to grab verse 16. For Paul had determined to sail by Ephesus because he would not spend the time in Asia, for he hasted, if it were possible for him, to be at Jerusalem the day of Pentecost. So he's hurrying to get to Jerusalem for the day of Pentecost.
Right.
Okay, so, and then, of course, verse 17, basically through the end of chapter 20, verse 38, is just Paul addressing those people. And then as soon as he finishes addressing them, then chapter 21, they get in the boat, and they're still on their way to Jerusalem to get there. Verse 4, interesting way to look at it. Verse 4, well, not just verse 4, but chapter 21, verses 1 through 4 now. So they're sailing on their way. They go by Cyprus, and so they stop at Tyre. And then those people are the ones led by the Spirit there. Don't go up to Jerusalem. And then when it says, verse 5, when they accomplished those, we departed, went our way, for they all brought us on our way with wives and children, so we were out of the city, kneeled down on the shore and prayed. So they get back to the shore, pray, they get back on the boat. Verse 6, took ship, and they returned home again. When we finished our course from Tyre, we came to Ptolemais and saluted the brethren and abode with them one day. And the next day we that were of Paul's company departed and came unto Caesarea. So sort of all that same journey.
Do you think it slowed down though? Like it stayed a couple extra days because of the first message?
I think because of
and the second message?
His timing had
you
to
know
be
what I'm
aware.
Well, there's another word in there too, and five, and when we had accomplished those days, finished.
Done.
So.
Yeah.
We departed and we went.
Stuff on the way, so
yeah.
We've got to spend a little more time than hurry up and catch the next boat. Hurry up, catch the next boat. You know what I'm saying? Seems
like
he's being led by the Spirit.
He's definitely being led by the Spirit.
At a precise time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he still makes Pentecost, right?
Yes. Yeah, as we're going to see in 21 here.
He's hurrying up to get there.
Yeah.
He makes it. But I'm just thinking, maybe his journey could have been faster if it wouldn't have been for these messages and for stuff he had to accomplish along the way.
Verse 10, tarried there many days.
Well, he skipped those other places. He skipped it. What did he say, Asia?
And then 7, finished the course.
Okay. Say, I hadn't looked at it that way before that it changed anything, but thanks for pointing that out.
Let me ask you this, the four women, the prophetess, the daughters,
yes.
They're still part of the program for Israel, right? The prophetic program. This is the beginning of Joel's prophecy. Where the sons and daughters shall prophesy.
So actually back up. So at the end of verse 8, who are these four? They're the daughters of Philip.
Yeah.
the evangelist, one of the seven. That's one of the seven that Stephen was one of those seven. Matter of fact, as I recall, those are the only two, Philip and Stephen, are the only two that we really see moving further back. Accounts later on what they did. The other five are named back there in Acts 6, 7. But we see Philip, he's the one that sees that Ethiopian eunuch. We have, so it's that Philip, this same Philip right here.
So you're saying the virgins which prophesy are a part of Joel's prophecy?
Which one is
it? Thinking in Acts 2. When they said this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, we know that didn't completely happen in its entirety. It wasn't completely fulfilled. But they got a foretaste of it. I'm wondering if this was like the foretaste, the start of it, and then that was postponed.
And postponed again. So you'd be taking us into a whole other study if I really stopped on that, which is a good study, and maybe next week that would be something we could do as a follow-up on Acts 21. But what you end up getting into a study there is, what if the Jews would not have rejected? So Paul's... Put our timeline back on here. Thank you. Good question. So our quick timeline, Genesis, birth of Christ, crucifixion of Christ, then the book of Acts picks up, and here we are at Acts 21, and we're around AD 58, so we're almost 30 years after the crucifixion at this point, okay? So, the book of Acts had picked up, and the first, so Acts 9, Paul's saved. Acts 13, he starts preaching. All right, here we are 30 years after the crucifixion. 25 to 30 years after, Paul is saved. Okay? Not 25 to 30, but 22 to 27 years after Paul is saved. And so the question is, during this time, so it's not till Acts 28 that the Jews become, lo am I, not my people. And we know, now that we can look back 2,000 years ago, that there's a time period that Ephesians chapter 3 calls the dispensation of the grace of God. That will end at some point in the future with an event called the rapture of the church. Then starts the 7-year period of great tribulation, followed by the return of the Lord Jesus Christ to earth to set up his 1,000-year reign on earth. Okay? Now, we know, because we're 2,000 years later, that the Jews end up rejecting him. But here in Acts 21, if you could put yourself in AD 58... like one of the people here, you don't know that that's going to happen yet.
You're still thinking that the trip.
You're still thinking a couple of things. You're still thinking that, first of all, to get in God's graces, to be able to hear the Word of God, you need to, as a Gentile, you need to be aligning yourself with Israel. Okay? There's a promise back here in Genesis chapter 12 made to a guy named Abraham. Basically, I'll bless them that bless thee, and I'll curse them that curse thee. Okay, and I know everybody's on board with that. So, during this time, and especially here in Acts 21, that's still the program. These Gentiles are aligning themselves in the synagogues. Tell you what, I'm just going to put instead Jew first and also to the Greek. Every time Paul writes, at this time it's to the Jew first and also to the Greeks, to the Gentiles. All during the book of Acts. So, I said all that to say this. If during that time the Jews had not rejected Christ in Acts 28, had not totally fallen away, and if they would have accepted all this and received all this, then would this 7-year period have started right here? And the answer, you know, it's a hypothetical. But everything would lead you to believe that the answer is yes. Okay, and it would have been different. Now, that doesn't happen. What was your question again? Because this is all an answer to your question or statement.
Joel's prophecy.
Joel's prophecy, thank you. So, Acts chapter 2 is the first time we see. Peter quotes it in Acts 2. This is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel. Okay, and Peter goes into it. And that's why they start selling out. They think this 7 years is coming. Here is a second reference. Here we are, 25 years plus later. And in chapter 9, so of Acts 21, chapter 9, and the same man, Philip, had four daughters, virgins, which did prophesy. And as we tarried there many days, there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. So it is still, the Jews are still the preeminent people. It is still Jew first, also to the Greek. Okay, and it's just one more. Now we're getting closer and closer to Acts 28. Closer and closer to the fall of Israel. Okay, this is the final fall. Yes, we can say it starts back here in Acts 7, the stoning of Stephen. And then the transition really gets going to the Gentiles. Because until that point, Acts 1 through 7, it is 100% Jews. Starting in Acts 9, Paul gets saved. Acts 13 is the first time we see Paul preach, about halfway through the book of Acts, number of chapters-wise, not time frame. And Paul is going to what building does he always go to first? Every town that he goes to, Acts 17, Acts 18, Acts 19, synagogue. Acts chapter 17, first couple of verses. And Paul, as his manner was, went into the synagogue. As his manner was. He's bound by this promise made to Abraham. Okay? And all the and many of the Old Testament saints were prophesying not just this, but this and the second coming. The return. To set up his kingdom. They're all looking for that kingdom. The
so you're saying these virgins prophesying has no correlation to Peter saying that this is that of which was spoken by
God? No. So is there a correlation? Yes and no. It's same subject, mm-hmm. if you will. Yes. So Peter talked about it here. And in that same prophet, actually, let's go back. Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, when Peter says this. Acts chapter 2. And in verse 17. And it's actually verse 16. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Okay, so that's the part we always, I guess in particular, tend to emphasize when I'm reading this verse. And we're going to keep reading now in a minute. But talking about the 7 years, Peter thinks it's coming. But watch the very next phrase. So I'm going to start in 17 again. And it came to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above. Okay, and on he goes, and now he's going to go right into the signs of the trib. You know, verse 20, the sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon into blood before the great and notable day of the Lord come. All right. So we see there the reference to daughters prophesying, which is where all this started. Okay, so here we are in Acts 21, and we're seeing daughters prophesying. Okay, so now it comes back to the same thing. If the Jews would have accepted back there, then yes, this was around the corner. And
so if they would have accepted, it would have been the other things that the Lord spoke about coming to be, the sun darkening, blah, blah, blah.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But some did accept.
Some did.
But as a people.
But as a nation, no. Oh, yeah, definitely. There were many Jews that believed and were saved by the gospel of Christ. But there wasn't the national salvation, if you will, of the Jewish nation. Right? And then Acts 28, The Jews become, lo, am I? Not my people. And the dispensation of the grace of God enters in. Something that nobody knew anything about. It was not in any prophecy back here. All of what was happening in here, including in Acts 21 that we just read, prophecy. Prophecy. The dispensation of the grace of God, where the gospel of Christ, where people like you and I, Gentiles, good for nothing Gentiles, like the people, and I'm not going to say it on camera, like the people that you were talking about earlier in that school that lost that game, you saying they're just a bunch of sinners? Yes, we all are. And here's the point. None of us has ever been aligning ourselves with Israel to hear the gospel of Christ. Okay, that's the key in the dispensation of the grace of God. Ephesians chapter 2, like our second hour last week, all about... Actually, let's go there. Ephesians chapter 2. The way it describes the people like you and me. Hey. Ephesians chapter 2.
This rabbit just got deeper. This rabbit hole just got deeper.
Starting in verse 11. Wherefore remember that ye, and every one of us in this room can put ourselves as that ye right there. That ye, Mike, ye, Brian, ye, George, everybody, not to exclude anybody, but each one of us is right there. Wherefore remember that ye, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time, back here, this time, matter of fact, literally by the words in this book of Ephesians, it would have been Acts 18, 19, and 20. At that time, Acts 19 and 20, that at that time ye were without Christ. Why? Right here. Being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. That's us.
But now.
Every one of us in this room, that describes our past tense. All right, and again, none of us has ever aligned ourselves with Israel. I assure you, this is not a synagogue. This is a coffee house. You didn't come here because you were aligning yourselves with Israel. There's a whole lot of other comments we could make about that too right now, couldn't we? But you could hear the gospel preached here. You could hear the gospel preached on the street corner out there. You could hear the gospel anywhere. Because the Jews are lo am I today. Because, verse 13, but now, in the year 2014, which actually started, you know, at the end of Acts 28 back here, around AD 67, 68, somewhere in that time frame. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Okay, but now, things have changed. The but nows, butnow.org, right? But now. And Paul uses that phrase many, many times in his writings. Romans chapter 3, which we're going to talk about in the second hour. You know, but now. When we get to the grace of God, it had always, everything before this, it was too foreign about Israel. And by the way, works were absolutely part of the program. In all your Old Testament and in your four Gospels. What did Christ say when he was on earth even? What did the man Jesus say? I came not to destroy the law, but to fulfill the law. He didn't take the law out of the way at that time. Okay? When Peter and the 12 get started here in Acts 2 through 7 through 9, it's still the law, the law, the law. Matter of fact, we're going to see the law has come back to Acts 21 now. We're going to see in a little while here, actually, Acts 21, jump ahead to verse 20 of Acts 21. The last phrase in verse 20 says, and they are all zealous of the law. Here we are in Acts 21, and people are still zealous of the law. Because until Paul told them differently, they had to be. They didn't know not to be. And yet we're 25 to 30 years after the crucifixion. And people are still zealous of the law, as they should have been. Until Paul came and told him that the but now doctrine. Okay? Oh, thank you. Wow. Okay. So Acts 21. Wow, we still have half the chapter to go plus. Okay. So you can read the rest of it. So actually, what is it exactly?
10:45.
45, thanks. We got 5 minutes. Okay. So verse 14 of Acts 21. So, and when he would not be persuaded, we see saying, the will of the Lord be done. Okay, so that's, they say, okay, if Paul's, you know, Paul is because of what he said in verse 13, we get it. Paul's committed to this. It is part of his ministry. All right, so verse 15, and after those days, we took up our carriages and went up to Jerusalem. So now they get there. Notice that phrase again, and went up to Jerusalem. It is a hill of, you know, I want to use the term mountain, maybe here in hill country. So it's like hill country, basically. I mean, you know, it's a hill up there, but a high place. It is the highest place in that area. But it's not mountains like you would find in Colorado. All right, that's the point. So verse 16 of 21. There went with us also certain of the disciples of Caesarea, and brought with them one Mnason of Cyprus, an old disciple, with whom we should lodge. And when we were come to Jerusalem, the brethren received us gladly. All right, so brethren, that's a term used for the believers of the doctrine that Peter's teaching. That Peter and the 12, the brethren. All right, and in verse 18, so the brethren received us gladly. Verse 18, and the day following, Paul went in with us unto James, and all the elders were present. The 12 were there. Peter, as a matter of fact, keep your hand here. Turn over to 1 Peter, just a few before Revelation. 1 Peter, in chapter 5. So at the end of verse 18, I'm going to read again. With us unto James, and all the elders were present. And when he had saluted them. So I was reading what we just did in Acts 21. Now, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1. The elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ. Okay, so Peter includes himself with the elders. So now back to Acts 21. So verse 18, and the day following, Paul went in with us unto James, and all the elders were present. And when he had saluted them, he declared particularly what things God had wrought among the Gentiles by his ministry. And when they heard it, they glorified the Lord and said unto him, thou seest, brother, how many thousands of Jews there are which believe. And if you remember back there between Acts 2, chapter 2 and chapter 5, there are about 8,000 that were numbered. There may be a whole lot more by now, but we know there are at least 8,000. And as he says here, thou seest, brother, how many thousands of Jews there are which believe, and they are all zealous of the law. Wow. They haven't changed that program. They are still zealous of the law. Verse 21. And they are informed of thee being Paul, that thou teachest all the Jews which are among the Gentiles to forsake Moses, saying that they ought not to circumcise their children, neither to walk after the customs. Don't miss that phrase. Yeah, we're getting rid of the law. It's been taken away. If we would have kept reading in Ephesians 2, it was nailed to the cross. Okay, all the ordinances, nailed to the cross. 22. What is it, therefore? The multitude must needs come together, for they will hear that thou art come. Okay, the Jews are, hey, Paul, everybody's going to hear you're here. That's going to be a problem. 23. Do therefore this that we say to thee, we have four men which have a vow on them. Take them and purify themselves with them. Actually, that's probably a good place to stop for today's session. But just understand where we've gotten to here. Okay, so Paul is now with the 12, with the brethren there in Jerusalem. And they're all saying, hey, beware, basically, just like the warnings Paul's been getting all through chapter 21 here. beware that Jews don't like you because you're trying to take the past 4,000 years away from them, basically. I'm kind of paraphrasing here, but it's been all about the law. And here you are telling people they don't have to do it anymore. They don't like that. People like being religious, don't they? All right, and that's what we're getting into. So we'll pick that up next week when we come back and finish up Acts 21 at that point. Thank you much.
I have a question for you.
Go ahead, Brian, if you want to cut it there. And
next session.
Okay.
If you don't mind.
Yeah.